but mainly probably it will be addressed to this community B, people who like structures. So since mainly it will be kind of axioms and discussion of examples. Mm. But for those who have not heard about Wolff-Rosing formulas, probably mainly mathematicians. So I start with a bit of motivation. Motivation mixed with history. So this first time the Wolff-Rosing formulas of the kind I will be talking about, they appeared like about 10 years ago in my joint work with Maxim Kantsevich on homological mirror symmetry for torus vibrations, specifically for homological mirror symmetry for K3 surfaces. So I have the reference for that. Archive reference. So 6 years, actually 4 years later. So we realized that a version of these Wolff-Rosing formulas also serves our theory of Donaldson-Thomas invariance. Both numerical and motivic, and the reference for that. In modern numeration, so it's a new history. And so basically these were two main motivations for searching of the new structure which underlies both type of formulas. Since that time, Wolff-Rosing formulas found many applications in mathematics and physics, so it's too many to list them. So connection with physics is mainly based on the observation, or if you like, the idea that Donaldson-Thomas invariants in mathematics, it's the same as BPS invariants in physics, specifically in like four-dimensional n equal to gauge theory. For example, probably most of Wolff-Rosing formulas which appear in physics can be put in the form suggested in that paper, in particular in yesterday's talk of David, this Chakotay-Wafa formula, which he mentioned, actually he presented it in the form which we offered here in this paper. As I explain, our Wolff-Rosing formula, well designed for any graded Lie algebra, so and for Chakotay-Wafa, you just take the Lie algebra GLN graded by the root lattice. All right. So probably the most popular version of Wolff-Rosing formulas are those which associated with torus Lie algebras, and so I would like to recall this formula. So the data consists of a free abelian group, like lattice. Let's call it lattice, endowed with integers Q symmetric form. So it can be degenerate or non-degenerate. If it's non-degenerate, it's natural to call the lattice symplectic lattice. If it's degenerate, let's call it Poisson. So with this data, we can associate, so that's kind of an example of wall crossing formula. So we can associate Lie algebra, which torus Lie algebra. And basically just algebra of functions on the torus consisting of characters of this lattice. So C can be replaced basically by any field of characteristic zero. So you can put rationals here. So the bracket in the natural monomial basis of characters, it's up to a sign. Given by this. And now comes the first observation that for any lattice element, we can construct a birational transformation of the torus, which preserves this Poisson bracket. So if you'd like, we have an automorphism of this algebra, which preserves the bracket. So it's an example of a cluster transformation. And actually, wall crossing structures associated with the torus Lie algebra, they are closely related to the theory of cluster varieties. All right, so this preserves so the you can check it directly, but it's better to see that this is a Poisson transfer. It's exponent of the Lie bracket with the dialogarithm of the monomial generator, and so exponent of the Hamiltonian vector field always preserves the bracket. All right. Now, so this is one observation. Another one is just a remark which will be useful, that again, for any element of the lattice, in the space, so there exists a wall, call it W gamma. In the space of homomorphisms of these two abelian groups, and this W gamma consists of elements of Z, which physicists call central charges. So elements of these are central charges such that like imaginary part of Z of gamma is equal to zero. So then there are countably many walls in this vector space. Okay, now in practice, the Donaldson-Thomas theory, which in general, it's it works for basically any three-dimensional Calabi-Yau category, not just for Calabi-Yau threefolds. So it produces integer numbers. So in Donaldson-Thomas theory, like in the big science, you start with a three Calabi-Yau category, endowed with a stability condition, for example. So in particular, you have a central charge. So this theory produces for the fixed stability condition, in particular for the fixed central charge, it produces integers called Donaldson Thomas invariants of the particular theory. And support, so the set of gammas which for which these invariants are non-trivial, it's basically the union, typically it's a union of two opposite cones. And again, typically these invariants are even with respect to gamma. So we can assume that we just have one cone. So then the wall crossing formulas looks like this. We take, like, say, this vector space. So then there are many walls here. We take two generic central charges, which do not belong to the wall. So then we have invariants here and here. So the wall crossing formula should tell us how to recalculate invariants, for example, here from the knowledge them here. And so it looks the formula have this form. So this means that the product is taken in the clockwise clockwise order of the arguments of these lattice elements. So this is a wall crossing formula. In fact, it's just a corollary of the definition of the topology on the space of stability conditions for the problem you're interested in. So this is a wall crossing formula for the torus Lie algebra. So one can quantize it because this is a Poisson algebra. So its quantization is a quantum torus. So quantization. Again, there is some sign convention, but so. And so this is an associative algebra, quantum torus. So there is a corresponding Lie algebra. And in fact, our theory, I mean, this wall crossing formulas, it works for any graded Lie algebra, as I mentioned, endowed with what we called stability data. Which in general, besides of the central charge, which is always part of the structure, stability data is a collection of elements satisfying some just one very simple axiom. And so under just these general assumptions, we can write wall crossing formula like this. So it's a part of the history, but wall crossing formulas appear not necessarily for some geometry associated with a vector space. In this case, it's vector space like this, but also they appear, for example, in the framework of Hitchin integrable systems or mirror symmetry. And so then it's natural to look for some structure, which we call wall crossing structure. And it's subject of a more recent work with the reference. So question is, what is the underlying structure, mathematical structure? And this is more recent work, which called wall crossing structures in Donaldson Thomas invariants, integrable systems, and mirror symmetry. So that's the subject of my talk. I will start with the simplest case, wall crossing structure in the vector space, and then gradually we'll explain how we can generalize it. So in the vector space, it's the most simplest story. So for those who are late, so it's a talk about structures, which mean that there will be some axioms, and to find such structure, it's a work of people who will use it. But as always, it's if you have a structure in one theory and another one, you can, for example, prove that they produce same invariants by proving that the wall crossing structures are isomorphic. So structures are more useful than numbers. All right, so I'll start with the wall crossing structure in a vector space. And first I start with the nilpotent case. So what are the data? So again, it's a free abelian group. So the isomorphism is not fixed, it's just free abelian group, like charge lattice. Graded Lie algebra. Again, over any field of characteristic zero, you can take it over rationals. All right, now, having just this, we can define the support as a set of gammas for which the graded components are non-trivial. In any case, it's a finite sum. And so we assume this is an assumption which refers to this nilpotency. Assume that the support is a finite set. Contained in the open, in an open, it can be standard, but an open half space. Half space. Well, it's clear where, because gamma belong to gamma. So let's look for the corresponding vector space, isomorphic to Rn. Okay, so it's a finite subset in the half space, in the open half space, so automatically this means that the Lie algebra is nilpotent. So, and also this condition implies that there is no zero component in the story. So G is nilpotent. And therefore, using Campbell-Hausdorff, we can define the corresponding nilpotent group. All right. Now, Also, for any gamma, we have the wall, which is just so the wall in this story, the wall belongs to the dual vector space, similarly to here. Yes. So it's just orthogonal to this gamma, so all functionals which are equal to zero on the gamma. So then we can take the union of all walls. And this is something which is intrinsically associated with the problem. So then we have a vector space, this gamma R. We have many walls. They are just hyperplanes, countably many. So they define the stratification. So let me mention on this stratification of this vector space. So it is decomposed into chambers. In particular, every wall is decomposed itself into different chambers with respect to subdivision defined by other walls.
Can you give an important work of R here?
Yes, it's a real story. It's related to this. It's
like, I mean, here we have faces. Right? I mean, we can look at imaginary part of E to the I.
Oh, yeah, you are right. I mean, you are right. It will be clear a little bit later. Of course, you can introduce a face here.
In this wall crossing formula upstairs, you have the argument of T.
Argument, yes. This will be, you will see how this will be the part. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyway, so these are the data. Also, it's clear that the wall itself does not determine uniquely the corresponding lattice element gamma. So if you have two parallels, so the walls coincide means that gamma 1 is parallel to gamma 2. Mm. All right. And now comes the definition. So a global wall crossing structure for G is an assignment. To a pair of points, these are outside of the union of all walls. We assign an element in this nilpotent group, which satisfy two properties. There are two axioms. So one is a cocycle condition. It's a condition for three generic. Well, let me call point generic if it's outside of the wall. And the second condition is the following. So suppose we are in the situation when we have two generic points which are very close to the wall. Very close means that the straight segment which join them crosses just one wall. So when in this situation, then we require that the corresponding group element, or the same as the corresponding Lie algebra element, yeah, because this is bijectively the same as the Lie algebra. So this element belongs to the direct sum of components with vectors parallel to this gamma. So this is a definition. So maybe I should make one comment. So the stratification of the vector space. In this condition, you see our wall is decomposed by intersections with other walls into different chambers. So in particular, we have a connected component, some chamber, let's call it tau, which contains the intersection point. So then we can associate a jump, yeah? Let's call it jump. Yeah. And so the collection, the collection of jumps, it uniquely determines the wall crossing structure. Okay, so then basically wall crossing structure is just a bunch of walls together with a bunch of group elements for any pair of generic points.
Sorry, you're saying the G tau depends on tau, but not on y1, y2.
It does not depend. Yeah. It follows from the axioms. But it's not at this time. It's not really. It follows. Yeah.
Gamma
is the wall. Yeah, you see, I started with the wall, which corresponds to the vector gamma, and this wall sits in the dual space. Yeah. So then I take two generic points which are very close to this wall, such that if I join them, so no other walls, this segment intersect just a unique wall. So the gamma is unique. All right. Now, second thing, it's a description of the same of the same structure in terms of shifts of sets. So I'm going to reformulate the same story. So in the end, I will have a shift of sets on the vector space gamma R dual, on the dual vector space. So first I start with an exercise. So of course for people who listen to me, not for me, I did it before. So there exist components. Components means components with respect to the stratification. Let's call them U plus, U minus. Like two chambers, call it positive and negative, such that if we take a functional from the plus component, then it's positive on the support. And similarly, if I take functional on the negative component, then it's negative. So for that, of course, I must assume that my Lie algebra is non-zero, but let's assume that. All right. So then we have these two chambers, y plus and y minus. So I take a point here, take a point here, join them by the segment, straight segment. And since these two do not contain walls, yeah, because of this condition, so then I have an element which in fact does not depend on these choices y1 and y2. And this is an element of my group. So just having a global wall crossing structure, I associate, so like to a wall crossing structure, I associate, I don't know how to denote it, an element of the group, this g plus minus. And so now comes the theorem that in this way we obtain a bijection between two sets, a set of wall crossing structures on G and elements of this group G. So we can parameterize wall crossing structures just by elements of the group. All right, so next I will use this theorem in order to construct the sheaf of sets. Well, it's useful to have a sheaf because sheaf is a more invariant notion. In particular, I will use sheaves in order to define wall crossing structure in a curved space. And also sheaves behave well with respect to like pullbacks, push forward, so it's some kind of functorial structure. All right, now how it goes. So first, for any functional, we have a decomposition of the Lie algebra given Lie algebra can be decomposed into three pieces. So, and clear what does this mean? So, this is a sum of component G gamma for which Y is negative. So, here it's zero, here it's positive. The same sum for y of gamma. So the decomposition depends on y. And this is good. Now, this is decomposition just as this is a decomposition as, if you'd like, as vector spaces. But each of these is a Lie subalgebra. So then we have a similar decomposition of the corresponding group. Again, these are subgroups, but the right-hand side should be understood just as a set consisting of products. So this is kind of a bijection. Yeah? All right. And now comes a construction. So if you have a wall crossing structure, then we have an element which uniquely determines it, element of G. And so this we can project to the middle term, yeah, which is a double coset of the whole group. So then in this way, I get an element which depends on my wall crossing structure and depends on the element of on the point of this space. So this is a stack of my sheaf. So then the claim in this way we obtain a sheaf of sets. So stacks are this G0 of Y. Stack over Y is this one, or fiber. So, and global wall crossing structure, this explains the word global, it's just a section of this sheaf. Sections of this sheaf. Let's call it somehow wall crossing, say, of G. So this is a sheaf gamma R. All right. So then just starting with very simple data, which are somehow, with very simple data here, just with graded Lie algebra and nothing more, of course, some important assumption. So we can construct a sheaf of sets. So this is the sheaf of wall crossing structures. And next, I just simply explain how to generalize this construction to take care about more complicated situations. And then I will illustrate what we get in examples. So generalizations. So first, this assumption on the support, it's very strong because, it's never satisfied except of, I don't know, some very, very few situations. So first, I'd like to get rid of this assumption. So if the support is infinite, then assume there exists a strict convex cone and call it C. Strict, well, convex clear, strict means that it doesn't contain a straight line. So it's not the half space. Convex cone such that it contains a support. So, and now if we have a cone, so then we can just define, starting with the same data, but forget about this assumption. Yeah, we can define the pronilpotent Lie algebra. Pro nilpotent, projective limit of nilpotent. Pro nilpotent Lie algebra, and the rest is just carried in the same way. So there is a group and we define the global wall crossing structure in the same way. So then just so this is one thing. Second thing, we can a little bit generalize this story. So because the cone is fixed, and in practice the cones, actually the role of cones is very, very big because they support charges for Donaldson for non-trivial BPS states, but next step we can allow C to be variable, to vary. So we have a family of columns parameterized by different functionals. So from the point of view, if you interpret everything in terms of sheaves, it's not a problem, because at every point we have now their own individual, if you'd like, wall crossing structure depending on the point. All right, so this is essentially straightforward, but the last step is, so all these are wall crossing structures in the vector space. So now last step, I would like to go from the vector spaces to arbitrary, I don't know, like topological spaces, probably Hausdorff. And these, So if we consider Prandtl-potent, it's enough for many purposes. All Calabi-Yau's, this wall crossing, they are already covered. So we can have infinite products in wall crossing formulas. But the next wall crossing formulas in topological spaces, so it will be very much similar to this, and the basic idea is just to pull back the situation in the vector space. But for that we need a little bit more of structures. So first, everything now will vary depending on the point. So we have Hausdorff topological space. Well, you should think something like the base of Hitchin integrable system. Now we have local system of lattices. G will be also a local system, so a local system of gamma graded Lie algebras. So then basically, but we need an additional a new structure, which we didn't have before. And this is like, to say it abstractly, it's a homomorphism from this lattice. It's homomorphism of sheaves. So this is a sheaf of continuous functions. So sheaves of abelian groups. So why? Because it stands for the imaginary part of the central charge. And so equivalently, I mean, this kind of a little bit scary. So equivalently, it's like locally Y is a map from an open set, a domain, in my topological vector space to gamma R dual. So then now it's clear what we can do. So these are the data. And so having a wall crossing structure which we defined previously, wall crossing structure here, we can define the wall crossing structure whatever g, what's my notation? Yeah, g and y, just taking the pullback. And so then the corresponding sheaf is, in general, will be a sheaf of sets on M, which is locally isomorphic to this one. So now it is, scary. So global wall crossing structure is just a section of the corresponding sheaf. So this is a global wall crossing structure on M. And one thing that we can, so it's kind of a remark, can define a support of wall crossing structure on M. So explain what is a wall crossing structure on M. It's a sheaf of sets locally isomorphic to this. And the support is a family, I can say it in a more scientific way, but morally is a family of cones, closed cones, so support must be closed, I think here, family. So these are closed, strict, convex cones. And so they should correspond under the pullback to the family of cones in the vector space. Okay, so then like in three steps, starting from the wall crossing structure on the vector space, so we just went all the way to the wall crossing structures on any topological space. And so now some examples. So so first example, we'll take care about this stability data on graded Lie algebras, which, as I explained, it covers wall crossings for Calabi-Yau, Chakotay-Wafa, or 2D, 4D wall crossings. I mean, this first example.
Can you say what, so the walls, what are the, so M is Hausdorff. The walls can be arbitrarily
walls are, well, walls are no longer straight. Yeah.
But in this pro, I mean, in this pro nilfotin case. So in the nilfotin case, there were a finite number of walls. Right?
Oh, now, yeah, now
in this nilfotin case, there is countable number of walls, but
There are countably, yeah, in pro nilfotin case, there are countably many walls. They can be dense.
They can be dense.
Here,
so
they
no
can be. No. The no restrictions, but the main condition, which I do not want to discuss, but it's really serious thing, it's this collection of supports. Yeah, because it like imagine. Okay, so maybe let me return to this when I discuss this Hitchens.
So you say you put an additional condition on this, that there is a restriction on this cone?
No. The question is whether you can construct the wall crossings. This is a definition. I can give any definition I want. Then the question is about existence. And so the natural question is that you give a support, which is kind of a conical set. It's a family of cones over M. And then you ask for the wall crossing structure bound by this support, such that the corresponding supports belong at each point. And this is non-trivial.
But the family of cones are always continuous.
No. This is a continuous family. I didn't say. что интересно. No, this is a continuous family. All right, so first example. I just tell you what's all these letters. So first, I fix gamma, so the lattice. Arbitrary gamma graded. So it's, we go somehow back to the beginning of my talk. So fix a graded Lie algebra and fix a central charge. So fix these three things. And now take the base to be just a circle, 2 pi z. All right, so then consider g and gamma as constant. So g and gamma are constant local systems. On M, so clearly we can consider just constant. Okay, now set y. So y should be the map from M to the dual vector space. So to each point theta, like theta point on the circle, I should associate functional, and this is exactly what like you observed. So this is a functional. Okay, now the fact, which basically just comparison of the definitions, that this global wall crossing structure on M with this Y is the same as a stability, what we called stability data on G. And I recall you that this is the same as a collection of elements. So this is a collection of elements, and they satisfy just one property, which I mentioned but didn't say it explicitly. There exists quadratic form, say Q and gamma R, such that Q is negative on the central charge, on the kernel of the central charge, and Q is non-negative on the support of this collection. So its illustrating picture is like this. So this is support of A. This is, so kernel of Z belongs to, so it's something like projection from three dimensions to two dimensions. So it's like there are no stable objects with trivial central charge. Kind of this kind, we call it support axiom. So in the case of torus, a quantum torus Lie algebra, these are one-dimensional. So then A of gamma is just a number, and it's better, of course, to start at least with rationals. Then it will be at least rational number. But then there is a theorem proved by Maxim and myself, that if you make a Möbius transform of this and go to some other numbers, which, so they will be integers. So it's integrality of Donaldson Thomas. Okay. So this is a case of vector spaces. And so it covers, of course, it covers this, what David yesterday called Chakotay Wafa, as I mentioned, or like 2D, 4D. So for 2D, 4D wall crossing, one need to take the product of torusly algebra and GLN. So just a special case. If you want to refine, then it will be product of quantum torus and the matrix algebra. Okay, now next example will be a curved example. And okay, so let it be Hitchin. So consider like Hitchin integrable system, and let's take, so this is a base of Hitchin. Let's consider GLN case. This is a smooth part, complement of the discriminant. Now, let's see. All right, it can be possibly with singularities, maybe irregular. In this case, the lattice will be indeed Poisson, unless we fixed, like in the case of regular singularities, unless we fix the residues of the Higgs field. Now, let's see, we have a lattice over B0, local system of lattices. It's basically just integer homology of the fiber Hitchin, so just semi-abelian variety. If there are no marked points, it's abelian variety, so it's symplectic or Poisson. So then just Poincaré pairing gives, so this is a constant shift. Okay. Now, as I explained, just having a lattice, we can construct a torusly algebra. So doing this construction at every point, we have local system of torusly algebras. And periods of the Liouville form on the spectral curve, they define the central charge. So we have a family. So comes from the restriction of the canonical one form. So in the case of Zyberg-Witten, it's like it comes from Zyberg-Witten. So then we have, in any case, we have this central charge. And now for the wall crossing structure, we take now the product of the base and this circle. So y is again imaginary part of the central charge, but now it depends on the point. So then the fact is that the wall crossing structure on M is the same as a collection of integer numbers, so it's collection at every point. Which satisfy, it follows from axiomatics, which satisfy wall crossing formulas from the beginning of my talk for the torusly algebra. But now the walls sit in this curved space. So there is a definition of these numbers under some assumptions on the singular part on the discriminant. Yeah. So this is a base, this is a discriminant, this is, let's take it to be just abelian variety for simplicity. All right, so there is a description of these numbers just in terms entirely of some kind of attractor floor on the base B. So just for mathematicians, it's some tropical construction. Omega is defined as a certain tropical count on the base. Now, but in the case of Hitchin system, so each point B, so if in B0, it's kind of, it's a smooth spectral curve. So we can upgrade it to a Calabi-Yau threefold called XB. Yeah. What? No? Okay. Yeah, so it's a Calabi-Yau threefold, local Calabi-Yau, just to remind you picturally what I'm talking about. And so this is non-compact Calabi-Yau, so we can consider the category of A brains compact, Fukaya category in this Calabi-Yau. And so the base can be embedded in the space of stability conditions on this Fukaya category. So then we have a collection of Donaldson-Thomas invariants parameterized. Well, it's a third homology of the threefold, but it's the same, at least it's same basically as the first homology of the corresponding fiber of Hitchin system. So we have another collection of numbers. These are categorical DT invariants. We can make it refined if you'd like. So, and then the conjecture is that these numbers are the same as the numbers defined in terms of this attractor flow on the base. And basically, this means that the corresponding wall crossing structures are isomorphic in certain sense. This is actually the construction is based on, as mathematicians would say, on the Dalbo part of the non-abelian Hodge theory, which means I deal with the Hitchin system. It's called I complex structure, because I forget what you denote IJK. But anyway, in some complex structure where the projection has its fibers, complex abelian varieties, you can rotate it. So you get to, as mathematicians would say, Betti side of the non-abelian Hodge theory, it's character varieties. And in that case, one, there is an interesting story which defines the wall crossing structure in a completely different way by considering compactification of the space of the character variety at infinity. It's related to the Stokes phenomenon and resurgence theory, some things which I don't have time to discuss. But then there is a third way to define some numbers. So the big conjecture is that the all three, so this is equal to something which I didn't have time, actually don't have time to explain. All right, so how much time I have?
You need more time?
Yeah, maybe 5 minutes. Okay, good. So then come to your question, how to construct wall crossing structures. For that, we have an abstract notion which we call initial data for the wall crossing structure. And I don't have time to explain it in detail, but roughly speaking, on the space, this what I denoted by M, where this shift lives, we defined in a general situation a sort of an attractor flow. So we restrict wall crossing structures to the trajectories of attractor flow and follow it all the way to infinity. At some point, the walls we arrive to the area when there are no walls. And so restriction to the set of connected components where there are no walls, it's called initial data. Formal definition is in our paper. These initial data, they are much simpler. Basically, we deal instead of like general whatever sheaf of complicated graded Lie algebras, this local system, we have a local system of abelian Lie algebras. So it's much more simpler. And so let me just tell you what this initial data means in the case of Hitchin integrable system. They, of course, as one can imagine, has something to do with the discriminant. Yeah. This means that to every generic point, so discriminant, it's very complicated, depending on topology, say an analytic complex analytic, it's a complex codimension one analytic divisor. It's no one knows how singular it is, but there is an like kind of open subset, like in this divisor, consisting of generic points. And the assumption which is natural to make that at every, we called it A1 singularity, which means that at every generic point, there is only one cycle in the abelian variety, in the generic abelian variety, which shrinks. Yeah. This kind of thing. And so initial data, so the homology class of this shrinking cycle, in fact, defines on the base is the base of integrable system. It carries integral affine structure, even a linear structure because of the central charge. So we can translate this as an integer line on the base, which hits the discriminant. So then the point is that if we are very close to the discriminant, and this refers to the initial data, so the corresponding number should be set to be equal 1. I think this is more or less equivalent. Yes. Yeah, that's true. The case of AN singularities is actually, I think it's similar. Yes. Okay. So then for the wall crossing structure, which I mentioned, that it can be constructed, one of the assumptions, like the boundary conditions, is this assumption at the generic point of the discriminant. Well, this is, of course, non-compact. You can try to do the same story with compact Calabi-Yau's, but then you need, I mean, first it's no longer polarized, but you need to fix these numbers at all attractor points. And I think they can be arbitrary, just any interest, so no restrictions. Okay, and the last thing which let me just mention, so this is an illustration of the notion of initial data in case of Hitchin. So the last thing which is very new, I mean it's not in the archive, so it work in progress with Maxim, and basically it refers to some algebraicity properties of the wall cross of Donaldson-Thomas invariants. Basically, if you remember, I started when we discussed the wall crossing structures in the vector space, I said that there are two chambers, like positive and negative, and the wall crossing structure is the same as a transition element from a point in this component to the point in this component. So it's a birational Poisson automorphism of the torus of characters. Yeah, it's an element of the group, but this group, it's naturally a group of Poisson automorphisms of the torus. If we go to the pronilpotent story, it will be even like more complicated. So it's just kind of, in general, it's just a formal automorphism. It's a series. So let's call wall crossing structure is rational in general if this element, which is in general is just a series, is a rational function. So the series converges. Like, unfortunately, I have erased. There was this wall crossing formula at the very beginning of my talk, which in fact means that some kind of this element. Okay, maybe I can formulate it here. Then take generic point outside of wall. So with a generic point, I have a decomposition of my group into three factors, depending on the sign. So here, remember, this is negative, this is positive, this is zero, this is positive. So I have it. Mind. So then in particular, this element, okay, is a product of three. Okay, I don't know, too many. Let me call it canonical element. Canonical element. So then I have canonical minus, canonical zero, and canonical plus. So then the theorem is that all three factors, if wall crossing structure is rational, then all factors in this decomposition are algebraic functions. In particular, if we apply it to Donaldson-Thomas generating function, like for a big class of quivers, yeah, like one quiver, which is related to Hitchin system on the punctured elliptic curve, yeah. So, and if we consider decomposition, so this Donaldson-Thomas generating function, it's in fact, it's more common to write it as a product. If you remember what David told yesterday, so you choose a half plane, yeah, then you define some element which is a product of all rays. That's exactly how we formulated this wall crossing from the very beginning. So then the claim is that if this is rational, then each factor is algebraic. I mean, to be honest, it's not quite proven in general, but in some cases, yeah, we have the proof. So I think I should stop.